Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Well, hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. I am your host, Spencer, and I am here to, of course, tell you about all these fascinating, fantastic words. Here in the G's, we're doing the G's. Okay, the first word in this episode is gabfest. G-A-B-F-E-S-T. It's like one of those music fests where you just go and you gab. Let's see, do we need to talk about gab? To talk in a rapid or thoughtless manner, chatter, talking, stuff like that. So, a gabfest, number one, an informal gathering for general talk, as in political gabfests. So very specifically, at a political gabfest, you are there informally to generally talk about politics. You can't talk about anything else. This is a political gabfest. I much prefer other types of gabfests. Gabfests where we talk about food, or animals, or podcasting, video, film. Oh yes, I love a good film gabfest. Number two, an extended conversation. When you meet somebody new and you just click and you're like, oh my gosh, we have so many things to talk about, we have so much in common. We've been talking for 13 hours. We're having such a gab fest. I don't think I've ever had one of those. Let's see. I need to make a sound effect. Ooh, let's do maybe something like a... Next, we have... I think it's Gabion or Gabion. G-A-B-I-O-N. Noun from 1573. This is a basket or cage, filled with earth or rocks, and used especially in building a support or abutment. Abutment. Okay, so this is when you're building a thing. A basket or cage filled with earth or rocks and used in building a support or abutment. So because it's so old, it's from the 1500s, it makes me think that maybe this is not really something that we are using these days in the modern 21st century. Gabion. So I just want to look it up because I feel like maybe I need a little bit of a visual or something. Well, it does look like maybe we are still kind of using this, maybe in a different way. It says, the Google says, it is a wire mesh basket filled with rocks, soil, or other materials to form a structure commonly used for retaining walls, erosion control, and military fortification. These versatile structures are strong, durable, and permeable, and can be used for both functional and aesthetic purposes, such as creating garden terraces, benches, and natural-looking barriers. Because the wire is there to hold in all of the rocks and such, but you get to see the naturalness of the rocks. And so it's like the wire almost kind of disappears. I'm seeing lots and lots of examples of these walls. It's really just a lot of walls made with rocks. But you don't have to worry about finding the right pieces and then putting what's the stuff called when you're putting in between the bricks? You know, that concrete-y kind of stuff to make it all stick together. You don't have to put that in there. You just build this wire structure, and then you put the rocks and those natural things inside. So, it seems like they have a variety of uses out there in the world. These gabions. Next we have gable. It's like Anne of Green Gables, like maybe kind of like that. Oh, hey, by the way, real quick, we got to go back to the etymology for Gabion, which is from the old Italian gabbione, which literally means large case. It's from gabbia, which means cage. Of course, that wire mesh thing makes sense. It's a cage. Cage for your rocks. Ah, where am I going to put my rocks? They keep on running away. You put them in a gabion. They're not going to run away. Also from the Latin cavia, and there's more at the word cage. So that's what it is. It's a cage for rocks and earth and things. Okay, now we got to go back forwards to gable. This is a noun from the 14th century. Number 1A, the vertical triangular end of a building from cornice or eaves to ridge. And there is a picture of this gable. So it shows a picture of a house. It's looking up at the roof. There are kind of like three triangular roof sections, and it's pointing to the gable. There's three points where there's the gable, and it's literally the point where the house, you know, if it's like a triangle for the house, it's the very top point at the edge. So there's the roof over here on the one side, and then all the way to the edge, it's like the cliff. It's like if you were lemmings walking off the roof, it's the cliff edge is really what it is, the pointed cliff edge. That's just the gable, the vertical triangular end of a building from cornice or eaves to ridge. So is it the whole line? It's just pointing to the one part at the top of the building, the structure of the building, right below the roof, I guess? I don't know. It's the pointed part of the house. But we have also 1B, the similar end of a gambrel roof, which I've actually already recorded ahead a little bit. Gambrel roof, I believe. This is, if I remember correctly, this one kind of looks like a barn. Got to go all the way over here. Gambrel, it's somewhere over here. Yes. It basically looks like a roof. It's like a not very slanted roof on top and then a very slanted roof below that. So the gable in that situation is the, it's the same part. It's just the roof and the building is shaped different is all. 1C, the end wall of a building. So a building's got a wall. It's got an end. That's the gable. Number 2, a triangular part or structure. And gabled is an adjective. Now, I don't know much about Anne of Green Gables. Is this like, where does the gable part come in? Where was her house green? Let's see. I feel like I need to... the Green Gables household. That's, I guess, was the house called Green Gables? Maybe I should scroll back to the top. Let's see. What's the plot? What's the story? Young orphan from the fictional community in Nova Scotia, sent to live with these people, unmarried siblings, run their farm at Green Gables. Oh, there's even a link and a picture. So yes, the roof is green. Even the top of the building below the roof is green. Is this a real place in Canada? It's a 19th century farm and literary landmark in Cavendish, Prince Edward Island, Canada. Green Gables served as the setting for the Anne of Green Gables novels. Green Gables is recognized as a federal historic building by the Government of Canada and is situated on the L.M. Montgomery's Cavendish National Historic Site of Canada. Built in the 1830s. So literally the gable, like the very, very top triangle is, I don't know, maybe it's 3 or 4 feet tall, is green. And the roof is green. The shutters are green. It's a green and white house. It's very cute and pretty and old. Jeez, it's almost 200 years old at this point. I didn't know that was a real place. Even though I've never read the book or seen the show or anything, I kind of want to go visit now. All right, well, that is gable. This word comes from the Middle Latin gabulum, which means gibbet. It is of Celtic origin, akin to the old Irish gabul, which means forked stick. Forked stick? I mean, I guess if you put a forked stick upside down, it's going to be a triangle, which is going to match the shape of the house. Is that where it comes from? Interesting. A forked stick and the roof and the building and all those things. It's just gable. Well, hey, just real quick, let's go on to gabled roof. No, it's just gable roof. No, there's no D. Two words, noun from 1850. It is a double sloping roof that forms a gable at each end. Double sloping. So is that like the gambrel roof? That's like a barn where it slopes one here and then another one here. Is that a gable roof? Yeah, why not? Next we have gaboon. This is a noun from 1929. It is a dialect. The synonym is spittoon. So I guess in some parts of the world, they say gaboon instead of spittoon. Because why? Because, you know, a spittoon is probably, it's that like wide vase or vase that you spit your tobacco spit into. Or if you just got a spit, you just spit into there. But what does the etymology have to say? Because gaboon, I don't know. Alternative of the first form of the word gab plus oon, like spittoon, and the first form of gab was all about talking. Talking rapidly and in a thoughtless manner. Chatter. But how does that translate to spit? Is it because you're talking a lot? And maybe if you're talking a lot, you're spitting a lot? And then you got to get rid of that spit in the spittoon. So you spit it in a gaboon because you're talking, you're gabbing too much. That is an interesting one. It's dialect. I don't know where people are using this, but somebody's using it. Or at least they were about 100 years ago. And now I hope that there is a guest for this short little section. If there's not, I shall record this. The next word is Gabriel. With a capital G. Yeah, it's a name. It's a name. It's a noun from before the 12th century. It is one of the four archangels named in Hebrew tradition, Gabriel. And if there is no guest, that is because we couldn't find the time to record. But my oldest friend in the world is Gabriel. And of course, he just goes by Gabe. But technically, his name is Gabriel. And he is of the Jewish persuasion, if you want to word it that way. And so, yeah, it's a very typical Hebrew name. Hebrew, it's spelled a little differently. There's some extra letters and characters and things. One of the four archangels or archangels. Those are the most important of the angels. And Gabriel was one of them. So he's like an angel on earth. And to be honest, my friend Gabe is, I believe, an angel on earth, because for as long as I've known him, he has always been trying to make lives better for other people. And I remember he had a shirt that said "Celebrate Diversity" back way before this was even a thing that people were talking about and as a phrase. He goes to protests and he does what he can, especially, I mean, he's a big biker, and so he's always trying to make the life between bikers and cars better, and just in a whole range of aspects of life. He's out there. He's trying to do what he can to make things better and fight the good fight. So I believe that he is definitely one of the archangels here on earth. Gabriel. Should I just call him Gabriel from now? That would be very weird to call him Gabriel. Anyway, hopefully there was a whole section with me and him talking about his name. Next, we have Gaby, G-A-B-Y, noun from circa 1796. The plural is Gabies, G-A-B-I-E-S. Which makes it sounds a little too much like scabies. But what is this? It is a dialect chiefly England. So some of the people in England are using this word gaby. The synonym is the word simpleton. So what is this? It's like the person in the town who is maybe is not quite as smart. Maybe they're not using some of their common sense, or maybe it's a little bit harder for them physiologically to learn things, understand things. Their brain is just wired in a different way. And so they are called a gaby for some reason. The origin says it's unknown. So some British people are maybe using the word gaby for simpleton, but they don't know why they're using that word at all. And I don't either. Next we have gad, G-A-D. First form, noun from 1671. This is number one, a chisel or pointed iron or steel bar for loosening ore or rock. So it's a very specific tool. When you need to get that ore, you need to get that rock, and you're like, oh, it's just so stuck in there. Where's my gad? I need my gad. That's that pointed iron or steel bar, you know, that thing over there. Can you go get it, please? Thank you. I need this ore. Number two is chiefly dialect, and it's just a long stick. A lot of dogs love to go get their gad. I've seen many videos of dogs walking around with this giant branch in their mouth, and they're like, this is the best day ever. I got a big old gad. Where does this word come from? It's from Middle English. It means spike. From Old Norse gadr, which is akin to the Old English gjard, which means rod, and there's more at the word yard. Interesting. Like a yard stick? Yard? I guess I'm kind of seeing a connection, because Old English is gjard, which is very similar to the word yard, and maybe they even pronounced it that way. And so that was a rod. Is that why we have yard stick? Because there was a rod that was about 3 feet long, and then we just had to standardize it to make it definitely 3 feet? I could see that, definitely. And then it became spike. Just a sharp spike, and then you're like, hey, I can use this thing to get some ore and rocks out of this thing, because it's sharp and pointy, so it's a gad. Gyard, gadder, gad. The second form of gad is a verb from the 15th century. Looks like it's just intransitive. To be on the go without a specific aim or purpose. This is usually used with the word about. Let's go gadding about. We don't have any purpose. We don't know where we're going. We're just going to gad about our day and see where the wind takes us. That is not something that I usually do, but every once in a while, we're just like, hey, what do you want to do? I don't know. Let's go do this. Okay, cool. That sounds good. Let's gad about. It's from the Middle English gadden, which I don't know what that is. Maybe it just means paint the town red. All right. The third form of gad is an interjection from 1608, and it is used as a mild oath. And you can probably see why, because it is a euphemism for the word God. So they just changed the O to an A and made it gad. Yeah, it's a little too close. If you're gonna make a euphemism for God, maybe you should just change it up a little bit more. Because you say, oh, gad. It's like you're trying, you think you're getting away with something, but God knows. Speaking of, I guess, maybe, possibly, we have gad again, but this one has a capital G. It is a noun from before the 12th century. This is a son of Jacob and the traditional eponymous ancestor of one of the tribes of Israel. Gadite, that is a noun. And are we going to see? No, I guess we're not going to see that here. So the eponymous ancestor of one of the tribes of Israel. So I think that means that one of the tribes of Israel were called the Gadites, I guess, because they are named after him, eponymous, named after him. because he was the son of Jacob. And so let's just look up what were the tribes of Israel? Yep, that's so 12. 12 tribes of Israel. Were they all Jacob's kids? I don't know. I would have to do more research, but they are named after, I guess, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Zebulun, Issachar, Dan, Gad, Menashe, Ephraim, and Benjamin. Is that 12? I think so. Wait, 1, 2, 3, that's 9, 10, 11. That's only 11. Why? Wait, where's the 12th one? Something's missing here. Here's another list. Let's see. Descendants of Jacob. Hebrew patriarch who was the son of Isaac and thereby a grandson of Abraham. Jacob, later known as Israel. See, I'm learning things. I don't know this stuff. He had 12 sons, from whom each tribe's ancestry and namesake is derived. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali. Ah, I don't think that one was in the other list. Gad, Asher. Maybe they're different lists. Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Of course, we know Joseph was the one who had the Technicolor dream coat. Everybody knows that that is 100% true. All right, so that's Gad. And next, it's gadabout. They said, oh, it's so common for people to use the phrase gadabout that we got to put it here in the dictionary. It's one word, noun from 1837. It's a person who flits about in social activity. Gadabout is also an adjective. So you can do the action of gadabout, and when you do that, you are a gadabout. A gadabout town? So do we know where this gad part came from? I mean, that one said it was from the Middle English gaden, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know what that means at all. So yes, when you are flitting about in social activity, you would be called a gadabout. I think I'm going to start being a gadabout. I think I need more social activity. And also, it's just fun to flit. Who doesn't love a good flit? Flitting about. Next, we have Gadarene. Gadarene? Yeah, Gadarene. Gadarene. Adjective, often capitalized. From 1922. The synonyms are headlong and precipitate. As in the example, a Gadarene rush to the cities. A Gadarene rush to the cities. Okay, well, let's look at the etymology real quick. It is from the demon-possessed Gadarene. The demon-possessed Gadarene swine. In it looks like this is something from the Bible. MT. What does the MT stand for? I mean, I want to say mountain, but I'm pretty sure that's not right. I don't know my Bible well enough. I gotta go to the Bible table here in the dictionary to be... I know that I have heard of whatever this is. I'm trying to find one that starts with an M. Real quick, come on, let's do this fast. Where's the... Isn't one of these MT... Ah, you know what? You probably know it, and you're probably like, oh, Spencer... Oh, Spencer, why don't you know all of the books and things of the Bible? I don't think it exists. I think they're lying to me. So anyway, MT 828, and it says, that rushed into the sea. So there was a swine. There was a pig named Gadarene that was possessed by a demon. Was the demon named Gadarene, or was the swine named Gadarene, or both? And then the swine rushed into the sea? Oh boy, do we need to look up the story? The story of Gadarene. This is not a story that my parents told me, because I don't think that they know. The story of Gadarene, demoniac recounts Jesus... Demoniac recounts Jesus delivering a man from a legion of demons, after which the man is found clothed in his right mind and able to return home to tell others what happened. The man was previously naked, living among tombs, and unable to be restrained by chains because of his demonic possession. When the demons were cast out, they entered a herd of pigs, which then ran into a lake and drowned. Oh, well, I feel bad for the pigs. They had no choice in this matter. All right, well, clearly, there's a lot more going on. This little summary is not giving me enough information, but there's definitely a story there with Gadarene. Okay. The dictionary is a little confusing because it says it's the swine, but that says it's the person. But is it the demon? Maybe it's the demon. The demon was in the man, but then he went into the pig? So I don't know. But this all leads us back to the definition, which is synonyms. Headlong, precipitate. Headlong, it's like, it makes me think of these pigs were just running headlong into the water because they were possessed by demons. Or at least this one pig was. And so it just went headlong, head straight into the water, and died. Precipitate? I don't really know a definition of that word that's similar to headlong. But the example is a Gadarene rush to the cities. So you, in this situation, you are just running into the city because you're so excited about the city. You've been living on a farm your whole life. You're like, holy crap, I get to go to the city. What? This is amazing. I'm going to rush into the city like I'm a demon-possessed swine. A demon-possessed swine. All right, I'm going to be thinking about that one for a while. Next is gadfly. Noun from 1593. Number one, any of various flies, as a horsefly, botfly, or warble fly, that bite or annoy livestock. I definitely am aware of the horseflies. They are some very large flies with some bitey, bitey mouths that hurt very much, so I have heard. And so they are a type of gadfly. Number two, a person who stimulates or annoys, especially by persistent criticism. Oh, it's like they're criticizing you persistently a lot? That would be incredibly annoying. Ah, you're like a gadfly. Get out of here, gadfly. Can you stop bothering me and criticizing me? Why do you need to be criticizing my clothes? Your fashion sense is worse than mine, but I'm not criticizing yours because I'm a nice person. Stop being a gadfly. It's like a bite from a horsefly. This is from the first form of gad, which was the one that was all about talking rapidly and in a thoughtless manner and chattering. But then which came first? Was it the person talking a lot? That was a gadfly, but then they evolved it into the fly, the actual fly? Or because why would the flies get named after the thing about talking and chattering? Unless it was just like a bunch of biting and they're like, ah, that's like how they talk. I don't know what the people in the 1500s were thinking. Next is gadget. Noun from 1886. It is an often small mechanical or electronic device with a practical use, but often thought of as a novelty. We love our gadgets. Gadgeteer is a noun. Gadgetry is also a noun. Gadgety is an adjective. So gadgets. Oh, yes, of course we love our gadgets. Those late-night infomercials are always trying to sell us fun, interesting gadgets that, like, you're like, yeah, that I could see that has a use, but nah, am I gonna use it all the time? It's really just kind of a novelty. I think I probably told the story. I did buy one of those gadgets because it was a cooker thing that had these wells, and you could put eggs or sandwich things in there to make these pocket sandwiches. And I used it. I used it an okay amount. But it was just a gadget. It was a fun novelty, and then I was like, eh, I'm bored with it, or it's not working, or whatever. What gadgets have you bought? I would like to know. Please tell me if you have ever bought a gadget, maybe from a catalog, a website, an ad, an infomercial. What have you bought? And was it useful? Did you use it a lot, or did it just break? Did you get bored with it? What's the story with you and gadgets? I always loved flipping through that magazine. that. I don't even remember which one it was, but it would come out, I don't know, once or twice a year, maybe around the holidays, and it just had all of these cool gadgets. And, you know, I've grown up and I've evolved. I don't need all of these fancy electronic gadgets. I have my phone, and that's enough. But, you know, sometimes there's like, oh, that seems like a cool... I've bought photo or video or music-related gadgets that have not really gotten used. So have I wasted some money? Yeah, probably. But we've all done it. We've all done it. I want to know about your gadgets. By the way, the etymology says that the origin of this is unknown. Ooh, gadget is one of those enigmatic words. All right, let's move on to our very last word. It's gadoid or gadoid. G-A-D-O-I-D. Gadoid? That's the first pronunciation here. It's an adjective from circa 1842, resembling or related to the cods. Would those be the fishes? Gadoid is also a noun, or gadoid. This is from the New Latin gadus or gadus, which is the genus of fishes. From the Greek gados or gados, which is a fish. So that's all it is, just fish. Gadoid is just, it's all about fish. Well, I need to pick a word of the episode. So today we had Gabfest, Gabian, Gable, Gable Roof, Gaboon, Gabriel, Gaby, Gad, 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 Gadabout, Gadarine, Gadfly, Gadget, and Gadoid. There were some good words in here. I mean, obviously, I have an affinity to the word Gabriel because of my very old friend. I mean, he's not very old. I mean, we are kind of old, but we've been friends for a very long time. So that's a good possibility. I should ask him what he would like to pick as the word of the episode as well. But, you know, gadgets, again, we just love our gadgets. So those are fun. But I don't know. I'm kind of leaning towards gadabout. Gadabout. Here I go. Gadding about the city. I'm just a gadabout. Flitting about the city. Gadabout, 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 bout, bout. All right, that will be the end of this episode. I am not going to tell you about a movie because I am recording this episode way out of order because I wanted to get Gabe on as a guest, and I can't tell you about my movies out of order. That's not how life works. So we're just going to end it there. It's going to be a little bit of a mystery, a little bit of a cliffhanger in that way. All right. Thank you so much for checking out this podcast. Watch it on YouTube. Write a review. Email me. Call the Google Voice number. Do all of those things. Buy some merch. Join the Patreon. Thank you very much. This has been Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.